B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Doing a fine retirement job.
Yes, he is.
I don't get me wrong. I think he is used as a sounding board by Matt Klentak. But when it comes to acquisitions by this team, it's Matt Klentak's job to get better talent.
Absolutely.
Andy McPhail is there for...
He's a figurehead.
Hey, Andy, what do you think of this?
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Don't get me wrong. I've heard Andy McPhail from people. I've heard of Andy McPhail from people getting really pissed off after losses. I've heard of that. But I still don't think he's the guy that is, you know, pushing the buttons, making the moves. He's the guy that Matt Klentak goes to and says, hey, I'm thinking about signing Bryce Harper. You think it's a good idea? Yes. Good talk. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's kind of what it comes down to. The Dallas Keuchel thing, I'm sure there was a conversation had, but ultimately the decision to not bring him in was made by Matt Klentak. So here is Dallas Keuchel last night in the Braves clubhouse when talking about the opportunity the Phillies had to bring him in.
I mean, if you don't come calling, what is there for me to be mad about? I think a lot of those guys over there in the front office are second guessing themselves, and I mean, I would too.
But right there is good. Mm-hmm. Some of those guys in the front office are second guessing themselves. I would too. That doesn't get said by a player whose first option would have been Philadelphia over Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think about that. I'm in a great spot. Obviously, it worked out. You don't say that. You don't put a little stank on your words without thinking to yourself, well, yeah, I kind of wanted to come to Philadelphia, but
yep.
Atlanta was the one offering.
Yep.
That's awful.
I love that he did it in their building.
Oh, it's taunting them is what it is.
Yeah, yeah,
and good for him.
I'd be doing the same thing.
In the Phillies building, in their club, in their own stadium, he's like, hey, guys, you had this.
You could have had this.
You see all this?
Could have been yours.
All it took was a phone call, and you could have had all this.
Let the record show that on radio, I will describe, Bob was just like flaunting it. Oh, that's the best way to describe it, Trey? Did you see that happen?
Yes, that did happen.
He was flaunting it.
Yes, he was.
And he was like, you could have had this. And he was shaking a little bit. It was actually uncomfortable.
That was a little shimmy.
To better depict the situation. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour, brought to you by Univest Bank. When it comes to business insurance, business as usual does not cut it. You need an insurance partner. You need Univest Insurance. Set up your free consultation and analysis today with univest.net. It is frustrating, but the big thing here is regarding the Eagles and the confidence level, as we started out the show, I have in this football team. Because I know over the last couple of days, people will look at the Redskins and they'll go, oh, well, they did what they were supposed to do against the Redskins. They took care of business against the Redskins, right? Yeah, okay, they did that. But they still struggled early, and they're not going to be afforded those same opportunities to get back into a game against a team that's at all better than Washington. And I think that's how a lot of people feel. I still look at it as that kind of preseason game where you had to work out some of those kinks against a lesser opponent. Going into the game, Trey, one of our theories was maybe Brandon Brooks doesn't start this game because Vitae has looked good enough in preseason play at right guard, and you know you could get away with playing a lesser right guard against a team like Washington. Sure enough, you needed 21 minutes of preseason essentially to work out the kinks, if you will, and then they kicked it into high gear and they took care of business really from there on out. Will the Falcons give those same opportunities? No. But my confidence comes when I look at that offense of the Atlanta Falcons, and I look at them and I go, they got some pretty good players over there.
Mm-hmm.
They got some guys that can handle it. But why shouldn't I be confident that this Eagles offense can go blow for blow, hit for hit with a team like the Falcons? We used the term earlier, musketeers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about what Atlanta has in their receivers with Calvin Ridley, what they have in Mohamed Sanu, what they have in, obviously, Julio Jones, and the guy throwing the football in Matt Ryan. Well, I'll put my Eagles receivers up against those guys any day of the week.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that this is one of the groups that you could definitely get after. And I like our offense up against there, especially coming off of a performance where they gave up four sacks, where Matt Ryan felt like he was constantly under pressure. He threw two interceptions. They kept their running game under 100 yards, you know, so Minnesota came out there and just pushed them around. So I do like our offense against them, especially when, we didn't start off the right way against Washington, but as things got going, you started leaning on the offensive line. The offensive line started making push, creating holes for the running backs, and they also did a good job of protecting Wentz, and that's what you want to see.
Would you carry over what Minnesota did, meaning that they only threw the ball 10 times, ran it 38 times? Would you carry that through, Trey, and look to get the running game going right off the bat?
Oh, of course. I'm definitely going to try to get the running game going, but they're not going to do that. There's absolutely there. I don't think there will ever be a game where Doug is saying we're only going to call 10 plays. We're going to establish the run, but we're going to air it out too. There's absolutely no way you can say I have Deshaun Jackson and all of this and say, you know what, we're only going to call 10 pass plays. That's all we're going to do.
Well, when you watch a team, if you're watching film for this, right? If you're the Falcons, are you saying to yourself, number one priority is that we do have to establish that run? We have to change what we did in the game plan previous? Or do you look at it and go, our number one priority really on the defensive side of things is stopping Deshaun Jackson?
Okay, so, all right, wait a minute now. You asked me two different things.
Yeah, so, but what I'm saying, like, what's your number one if you had to fix one thing as a whole on the team, is it the opportunity to run the ball more on offense, or is it the opportunity to take advantage of somebody like Deshaun Jackson burning you, or not burning you, rather, preventing you from doing that?
I think for them, their number one concern is protecting Matt Ryan. How are you going to protect your quarterback? Because he's the one that's going to be dishing everything out. Now, when it comes to stopping Deshaun Jackson, good luck with that. You know, right. Because, I mean, this offense has enough to where they can say, all right, they just use Deshaun Jackson as a decoy and then light you up underneath. But then we have to continue to run the ball. But, there are a lot of questions that Atlanta has to answer, you know, just because they did. I mean, to have a team come in and only run 48 plays, to only run 48 plays on you, and 38 of them were run plays, that's not good.
They scored 28 points.
Yeah, it scored 28 points.
That's really bad. And then you say, you took it further, Trey, earlier, that the special teams were bad, too.
Special teams were bad. I think they had two blocked punts. You know, yeah. Well,
so you're teetering right now, Atlanta is, on being a not good team.
I'm sorry. You're right. The question I was asking you was confusing. What I meant to get at was the fact that you allowed, as a Falcons defense, you allowed 172 yards on the ground. Granted, yes, a hell of a lot of carries. But are you focusing in on, oh, we can't have that same mistake? Not that the Eagles would run the ball that many times, I don't think. Are you going to try to focus on correcting that mistake, or are you going to try to focus on the idea that the other game plan, the other team has a guy that can burn you deep?
Yeah, I think you would focus on, hey, let's not let Deshaun Jackson handle us. Coming off of a game like this where you had Deshaun Jackson, what, he had 100 and how many yards?
58.
He had 158 yards. So your game plan is like, all right, you know what? We cannot allow Carson Wentz and his company to sit up here and light us up. If we can just keep the run game in front of us, but don't let the receivers light us up, we have a chance.
That's their number one goal after watching last week's film, is we cannot let Deshaun Jackson beat
us. You can't give up the big plays.
Yep.
And that's in any defense. You can't give up those big plays because that sucks the air out of your team.
I think Nelson Agholor is going to have himself a day.
Well, Carson talked about that yesterday. He said that the Atlanta defense likes to keep everything underneath. That's what they want to do. And that kind of plays to an Eagles' strength, if you think about it. Okay, you want to have Nelson Agholor, Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, Darren Sproles out of the backfield, Miles Sanders out of the back. You want to keep that there? Okay, they have enough playmakers where they can take advantage of it.
All they need is one one-on-one matchup in the open field.
Exactly.
And any one of those guys could beat somebody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any one of those guys could beat somebody. Yeah. That is going to be an interesting thing when Carson broke that down yesterday. Because once they do get that team maybe suckering in a little bit, once they start playing a little bit cautious football, that's when Deshaun can strike. Because he only needs one.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he needs to affect that game. And I can't wait to see that. 610-632-0975. Jamie, I assume this was you saying that we actually thought we could get 100% poll here.
I thought we had a shot.
Did you quote the tweet from the morning show on the station account?
Yeah.
All right. So the Twitter poll has it right now, just a quick update. 87% say.
Oh, God.
Only 87%.
There are we got Mets fans voting?
13%. Well, here's the thing. Who's the gentleman that just said that? Scott just tweeted us saying, apparently Klentak and McPhail are on Twitter. Not too bad. Let's get Mike and KOP. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Well, all right. Good, bud.
Good. First of all, I want to just, Mike from Del Ran, I completely agree with this sentiment from the earlier show. There's way too much baseball talk for football, with football season going on. Mike from Del Ran, I completely agree with you.
You know what? I'll tell you what it is. It's Thursday. It's not Friday yet. And the guy that we wanted to play for the Phillies just pitched last night. It's the only reason it's happening.
No, it's just too much. But anyway, I wanted to say, that Kobe Bryant situation is hilarious. And I can't stop thinking about the Karate Kid 2, the beginning of that movie, where, like, in the parking lot, the sensei was just beating up his team, his students, and breaking all their trophies and everything. And I can just kind of see Kobe Bryant just shoving a bunch of girls in the parking lot and taking all their trophies and medals and just stamping on them and breaking them and just saying, we don't train to be merciful here. And just completely, like, quoting that movie. I can see it shot for shot with Kobe just doing it to 11-year-old girls. I don't know why.
Rodney Harrison actually did that. I'm sorry, James Harrison.
James Harrison
actually did that with his kids' trophies.
Yeah, they gave him like a second place or third place or some trophy, and James Harrison took the trophy and trashed
it. Yeah, it was like a participation trophy.
Yeah, maybe
whatever.
A ribbon. I don't know.
Whatever it was. And James Harrison's like, yeah, no, you get trophies for winning.
And watch like the first 5 minutes of Karate Kid 2, and you'll just see Kobe Bryant, and you'll just be like, yeah, he was probably beating up little girls in the parking lot after that.
Well, we'll get into that. Mike, thanks. What's your prediction for the Eagles? You're going to call us tomorrow.
I completely think that the Falcons are always overrated.
Thank you, Michael.
Julio Jones. Like, I'm so sick of it. They stink every year, and they blew a 28-point lead in the Super Bowl. Matty Ice stinks. I don't want to hear about him being some great quarterback. He stinks. And Julio Jones, like, I don't know what it is about him, but he's just like a paper tiger wide receiver. I don't believe in him at all.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call, man.
I have a good one.
All right, you as well. Take it easy. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll read the complete Kobe Bryant transcript.
It's so good.
Like, let me tell you something. As a new parent, this is how I'm going to talk to my kid.
Yeah.
This is how I'm going to handle situations. And also, as promised, I told you I'd get to the Bill Belichick stuff. We'll get to that in this next segment. Because, look, the guy doesn't have to say anything about anything. You know why? Because he's Bill Belichick. But I still think that he is a complete douche. 610-632-0975. We'll get to that in a second. But real quick, I just want to acknowledge here, we got Burger Brawl going on. We got some burgers coming in here right now. We've sampled the Hard Rock Cafe burger for Burger Brawl going on this weekend. This Hard Rock burger is fantastic.
Oh my God.
The way they did this is nothing. It's just spectacular. We got an onion ring on there. It looks like we got some pulled pork. Perfectly cooked meat on that patty. Beautiful. This Hard Rock Cafe. Don't forget, Hard Rock Cafe located in the historic Reading Terminal in Center City, Philadelphia. You'll feel like a rock star yourself while dining at the Hard Rock. Enjoy a great atmosphere, legendary burger, or sip on a handcrafted cocktail from Hard Rock Cafe. Hard Rock will be at Burger Brawl this Sunday, competing for Philly's Burger Supremacy. Thank you to all the wonderful people at Hard Rock Cafe. This is spectacular. 610-632-0975.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Trey, I was talking about this fine burger from Hard Rock Cafe, which is going to be in our Burger Brawl. I totally messed it up. I was eating this, and it was like, I thought it was barbecue pulled pork on top of the burger, which is on below the onion ring and the fine bun. Nope, it was way off. We have Christina Wilson in here from Hard Rock Cafe. Christina, describe. What do we just eat here?
Oh, yeah. This is one of our favorite burgers on our menu. The burger patty itself is a special blend, which is short rib, sirloin, brisket, and chuck. We sear that on our flat top, and then we top it with some cheddar cheese, and it's a whiskey bacon jam.
Oh my God, keep talking.
Fried onion ring on a potato roll, so it's really good.
That is absolutely delicious, Christina. And is this the one you guys are entering in Burger Brawl on Sunday?
It's a variation of it.
Don't reveal all the secrets.
Yeah. We wanted to give you guys a teaser. The one for Sunday is actually much, much better.
That is fantastic. Christina Wilson from Hard Rock Cafe, thank you so much. This is delicious.
My pleasure.
I will finish this burger. Good. I have to pace myself. You know what I'm saying?
Trey and I didn't pace ourselves at all.
No, you guys are right out of the gate. We have 16 more burgers coming in today, guys. So
yes! Get excited.
Christina Wilson, Hard Rock Cafe, thank you so much. It is fantastic. Good luck at Burger Brawl. Philly Burger Brawl is this Sunday at the Philadelphia Navy Yard, presented by Jim Beam. Enjoy unlimited bites of burgers from top competing restaurants in the city. Plus, there is an incredible cocktail competition as well, featuring Jim Beam Black inside the Jim Beam Bourbon Garden. Proceeds benefit the Philadelphia School District. The event raises money to outfit underserved schools with the latest in technology. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to PhillyBurgerBrawl.com. Christina, thanks so much. That is fantastic. It was delicious.
My pleasure,
delicious.
Guys. Enjoy.
It's a sin. I can't finish it. It's a sin. 610-632-0975. So, Antonio Brown has been gobbling up a lot of the headlines recently.
Yeah, a little bit.
For a lot of different reasons.
Uh-huh.
So the one team, Trey, as you accurately predicted, that could handle the Antonio Brown thing, handle it in a way yesterday that you would absolutely most likely predict, actually. Most likely predict it to go this way. Bill Belichick gets asked about any player on his roster, no matter who it is. Yeah, we don't even think he's a football player, and we move on. That type of thing.
Pretty much.
They signed Tim Tebow to the practice. I have never been in a press box, other than this one time, where people were laughing at play on the field.
Uh-huh.
And that was when I was watching members of the New England Patriots press, members of the New England media, watching Tim Tebow try to play quarterback in the preseason against the Eagles while he was playing for the Patriots for that brief time.
Oh, because they've been so quarterback spoiled or something their whole lives?
They were laughing.
Try more than one, guys.
Yeah. What's that?
The Pats. Try more than one quarterback. See how that goes for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, what are they, 18-1 in games without Tom Brady and Bill Belichick?
Whatever.
No, I'm sorry. They're 18-6.
Okay.
Because I think Matt Castle was 11-6.
That's still,
or 11-5.
That's still pretty good.
Exactly. Unfortunately. Damn, sorry. Right. Sorry. Not to be accurate. I apologize. But that's the interesting thing. So Antonio Brown gets signed by the Patriots. But what, 48 hours later, this civil suit comes out for sexual harassment, rape allegations?
And by the way, Rosenhaus knew. They knew over the weekend it was coming. They didn't tell the Pats.
No.
How about that?
Okay, well, I have a question about this.
Okay.
Why didn't they just go ahead and pay it? It was $75,000.
The civil claim is only $75,000?
Yeah.
It's $75,000 to get it to go to court. It's from what I heard. I hear what you're saying, because I was thinking the same thing, but I forget where I heard it yesterday. There is an explanation to that. Like, it costs $75,000, although they're paying more to get it to go into court.
But I thought that she was looking for $75,000.
That's exactly what I thought. If somebody out there knows the better explanation, maybe it is somewhere, but I heard that. I thought the exact same thing, and I heard somebody explain, and no, that's not exactly it. I'll look it up now and see if I can find it.
I saw the number, but I just thought it couldn't be right.
Yeah.
Like, if that was the issue.
It was.
It just seems
let
like.
Let me see if I can find it.
Hold on. 70 grand, 75 grand, if this goes away?
Here you go.
Right.
You know, but hey.
They chose not to play it that way for whatever. And you know what? Yeah. If he did all this, then fine. Then good. Then more power to her, and make sure that you punish him as much as possible. It does seem odd, though. When I first saw that number, I was like, I didn't even know if I wanted to bring it up, because I was like, no, wait, it's got to be more than I'm missing something here.
Yeah, from what I heard, 75.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, he gets signed by the Patriots. Apparently, he was going to stay in the guest house at Tom Brady's place.
Until Giselle said, no, 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 Tommy.
That's not happening, I don't think, anymore. And they go to the press conference yesterday. New England media goes to Bill Belichick's press conference. And, of course, as you would assume, they would go and discuss this a little bit. So here is basically Bill Belichick not offering any information in typical Bill Belichick fashion, where he actually, this ends with him leaving the press conference. Take a look.
Bill, were you aware of the lawsuit when you signed Antonio Brown?
I'm not going to be expanding on the statements that have already been given.
Don't you think the fans deserve to hear a little more from you on
we'll say more.
That, could impact the team?
I just said that.
Don't you think fans deserve to hear a little bit more?
When we know more, we'll say more.
Because of all what Antonio Brown has said to you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm done with that. Okay. Anything else on Miami? Any other questions?
Can you explain what you mean when you're done with it? I mean, we're just trying to find out if he said anything to you about his position and about the allegations.
Yeah, I just answered that question.
Well, actually, you did.
Actually, I did.
Like, I give him credit because that
reporter, that guy was great.
The reporter,
actually, you didn't.
No, but here's the thing: you said you did, you didn't. So what's the answer? And Bill's like, "Yep, nope, I'm out."
Yeah,
and that was the end of the press conference. When you sign a player, isn't there? This is where I know a lot of people say you don't owe the fans anything. No, you owe the fans an explanation of what went into the signing and what you're going to do to manage a fire that is now on your team with somebody being accused of rape, somebody being accused of sexual assault. Like, that's something that you need to talk about as a team. And to not talk about that in a press conference where all you're talking about... Look, I understand football's the number one thing for Bill Belichick. That's great. But there's a bigger story there that people deserve. They have a right to know what went into that thought process, whether or not you knew it, and what the conversation was like between you and the player before you signed him, and what the conversation was like, if any, was had after you actually talked to the player after the story came out. You at least owe that to your fan base.
Okay.
You don't think he does?
Yeah, I think he does. But, I mean, this is something that's not... Bill Belichick, this isn't their first rodeo dealing with Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah, but...
Multiple murders and you still went on to the Super Bowl. They just act like, oh, we're not going to answer this. Move forward. This is how they handle things up there in New England. I mean, you just had a player get caught with cocaine.
Nothing. Right, Patrick Chung,
yeah.
Hey, nothing. We're not going to answer that. It hasn't even been talked about. Hasn't been brought up in press conferences since this.
Mm.
So this is nothing new to the New England Patriots. They're not, Bill Belichick is like, whatever, all right, we're going to move forward.
But in light of all the news in the NFL regarding either domestic violence, not treating women well,
yeah.
I mean, I would feel like this would be something that Bill Belichick would want to get in front of a little bit.
Nah, he's not.
Like, of all the things, even Aaron Hernandez, he went to jail. Like, he didn't come back to the Patriots. He went to jail. Like, that was done. But with this situation, it's what's being talked about, and he doesn't shed any light on the Patriots' involvement.
Yeah, it's weird. I you know, whenever you're dealing with coaches and it's something off the field, and I'm putting air quotes there, although it does affect you on the court, on the field, whatever it may be, that's what they'll hide behind. And that's what Belichick's kind of doing. You know, like, I'm here to talk about football. Let's talk about the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
The reporters, rightfully so, well, okay, are you going to have Antonio Brown? You know, because of what happened. So they're trying to go at it. I understand what Belichick's doing, and it's what every, you know, most coaches do. And it happened with Brett Brown when I was covering the team, and Jahlil Okafor got in the fight in Boston, remember?
Yeah,
and,
you
know, he had to come out. He's like, oh, I'd love to talk to you more about it, but, you know, it's something that we have to take care of internally.
Because Sam Hinkie wouldn't talk about it.
I swear, it's still to this day. We were in Madison Square Garden, and Brett Brown comes out to talk, and Hinkie passes right by him, and I saw Brett look at him, and I'm just reading here, and I never talked to Brett about it. Hinkie walked, we're all gathered there, the media, and Hinkie just walked right past him and into the locker room, right past us, didn't say a word. Oh, firing squad? Yeah, you go take care of that. I'm going into the locker room.
Ridiculous.
I still couldn't believe he did that.
Phil has something coming up in a minute. Yeah. We're going to have an installment of Trench Talk with Trey. Phil has some light he wants to shed on the lawsuit situation. What's going on, Phil?
How are we doing, fellas?
Hey, Phil.
All right. So, I am an attorney. Just to kind of explain the $75,000 that is alleged in damages. So, when you're filing a federal civil suit, you need to allege a minimum of damages to keep it in federal court. The floor is at least $75,000.
Okay.
So, for her to move forward on the claim, she has to allege at least $75,000 in damages to bring them in and keep it in court.
Okay.
If not, they'd have to fight all over which state they're going to be having the case in and things like that. So it's just a way for the system to filter out cases that don't have enough damages.
So what's the phraseology? In excess of $75,000?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it's basically that $75,000 is the cost of doing business for a trial like this.
Correct. To at least get you into the floor, to get you there, and then you can, the jury or the court will assess the damages based on the evidence presented, and if the parties can't settle it.
And then after that, you might see something like $5 million or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very typical in those big auto accidents, cases, recalls, things like that. They'll allege in excess of $75,000, and you might get $5, $6 million coming out of that.
Gotcha. Phil, I appreciate you taking the time to call, man. Thanks, man.
Phil.
Yeah, that really helps.
No problem, fellas. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Yeah,
go Birds.
Yeah, because if it was, like you said, $75,000, here you go, go away. But that's just to keep it in court, and then you can really start going after.
When I saw that, I was like, no. Yeah. Like somebody missing a zero?
Yeah.
Like what's going on?
Yeah, and I forget where I heard it. It might have been Mike's show yesterday that I was kind of on the right track, that it was just $75,000 to get into the court. Jeez.
That explanation really does help, though, because a lot of people were just like, well, $75,000? Right. Oh, y'all, this must be not, she must not be telling the truth, because that's all she wants. That helps a lot with understanding that.
Yeah.
And here's the other part of it. I am not about to throw accusations at someone who may be a rape victim about motivation. Like, I saw people throwing some stuff against the wall that I won't even justify with explaining. But, like, come on, guys. Like, I feel like I've said this too much over the last week. We could be better than that.
Yeah, just because there was no criminal charges filed does not make her claims any less valid.
Right. 610-632-0975.
By the way, TMZ said that she claims she passed a lie detector test.
Wow.
I saw that link yesterday.
Okay, well, someone at a church was the head over... Some, I don't know. I've been reading a little bit.
Something at church? What?
Yeah, someone that went to our church was the head of the lie detector testing, whatever it is. I don't know.
They're a licensed lie detector giver person.
Something like that. Yes,
gotcha.
Yes, certified.
These are technical terms.
They have a certification on the wall. Boom.
Sorry, we're talking over your head here.
I don't mean to. Let me dumb it down for you. Anyway.
The lie detector guy.
Yes. I believe it's just fellow.
From church.
From church. Yes, that was the best one. I think that person's name is God.
Right.
610-632-0975. Trey, yesterday we had our first Falcons-Eagles trench talk with you, where we focused on the Eagles' offensive line, defensive line going up against their offensive line.
Yesterday we focused on the Eagles' offensive line against their defensive line.
Pushing them around. What do you got for us today?
Today, we're talking about the Falcons' offensive line. Hey, so here we go. We've had a couple games now that the Falcons have had to deal with that Matt Ryan has just gotten destroyed. Their second preseason game they played against the Jets, 3 sacks by Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan was given 3 sacks, and I don't even know how many quarterback hits. All I know is that they finished that game with 14 quarterback hits. All right, so now you fast forward here to the Falcons against the Minnesota Fighting Vikings. With the skull or whatever that is that they like to do.
It's now Foles.
Foles. Yes. So Matt Ryan comes into this game 33 for 46, 304 yards, 2 INTs. He threw 2 touchdowns, in the fourth quarter? But he was sacked 4 times with a loss of 32 yards, and he was hit 7 times. That offensive, and also, too, I'm sorry, they rushed. They had 17 carries for only 73 yards. The offensive line for the Atlanta Falcons are struggling when it comes to protection.
Struggling.
First of all, you have right now they're switching out their right tackles, McGarry, and then you have Sam Briallo. I butcher names. Sorry, number 74. So you see number 76 and 74 switching out. I don't know. I think 76, McGarry, he's a rookie, so I don't know if they're trying to test him out to see how he's going to go, but he's been a guy that's just been switching in and out with number 74. You have Matthews, that's number 70, the left tackle, who's been in the game for a little while. Number 77 is Carpenter. And then you also have your center, number 51, out there. Right now, this offensive line is struggling with any games in the interior line, within between the right guard and the center. You see a couple games there. I also saw Matthews. I remember when he came out from Texas A&M, he was one of the more polished tackles coming into the game. Right now, he has some really bad technique. He's doing a lot of catching, not really using his hands well. So you saw him get edged. You saw him get beat with a spin move. I think he was beat for like 2 sacks in this game against Minnesota. Also, too, you just see that this offensive line, they're not switching off. Another thing that you should watch, Matthews gives away the run play based off of the way his stance is. When he's in a two-point stance, that left foot goes really back. You could tell, all right, here comes the pass. When it's a run play, he gets a little bit more balanced in his stance, which a lot of tackles do, but he really gives it away. There may be a play action that could come behind it here and there, but when his stance balances up, you should know, all right, here comes the run play. So, you know, there are a lot of keys that these guys are giving away that I'm like, you know what? Let's test them again, because they obviously failed it against Minnesota, so let's try it again and to look at what Minnesota did as a unit and try to add some of that into our game.
So Jake Matthews has a big tell is what you're telling me.
Oh, he has
me.
A huge tell. He has a huge tail. When it's a pass play, that left foot is all the way back. When it's a run play, that left foot, his stance gets a lot more balanced. And you know, all right, here comes the run. Or there may be a play action, but 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a run play.
Why, if I'm in Atlanta, why am I not telling my left tackle what's what when it comes to a tell?
You'll be surprised.
Okay.
You'll be surprised.
Tell him all you want, but he ain't listening.
Well, sometimes you'll be surprised, like, what coaches just don't even pay attention to that.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Like, you know, when I watch film, the first thing I start looking for is, okay, which player has the hitch? You know, so if I'm looking at as a defensive unit, I want to say, you know what? Let me give you this real quick. Back in the day when you looked at the Indianapolis Colts, when you had Freeney and them at ends,
right.
They were the fastest at getting off the ball, all right? They weren't looking at the ball. What they found were offensive linemen that had hitches. And when it's a hitch, it's like usually your butt drops or something happens right before you move. The center for the Atlanta Falcons is that guy. He has a hitch. His knees bow out. It's something that happens right before he snaps the ball. So instead of looking at the ball, you find that hitch.
Wow.
You find that hitch and you go. So that's where, as a defensive player, that's when I'm watching film, I look for that. I look for hitches, and then I start looking at stances, and then I start looking at splits. Because sometimes if you start widening out your splits, it might be an outside zone play, or you're getting ready for pass protection, depending on your stance and everything like that. So, you know, just so you know when you start looking at stuff like that.
So I'm looking at a guy that's going to bow his legs this weekend. The center
definitely does something. He drops his buddy, shakes his knee or something right before he snaps the ball. So that's something that you can look at instead of watching the ball. And then also you look at Matthews and say, all right, you know what? That stance is balanced. Here comes a run or a play action. If that outside foot is all the way back, here comes the pass.
Wow. That's a good scouting report right there, Farzetta.
Trey, nobody does it like you. That has been Trench Talk with Trey Thomas.
Yeah!
We've been teasing it. We've been talking about it. Mikey KOP wanted to get into it. Kobe and the kids.
Kobe and the kids.
One of my favorite things that ever comes up in all of sports is really youth sports. And the over-aggressive parent. This might be the example of a perfect person to have as the over-aggressive coach.
Yeah.
Kobe calls out children. Children!
Only to his, like, 10 million Instagram followers.
Yeah, that's all. I mean,
you know, it's his daughter's team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Newport Beach something or other.
Yeah, you know they're on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know these kids in the L.A. area are on Instagram.
Well, that little girl shouldn't have gone to her dance recital instead of the game. I mean, she's being a coward.
She made a decision. Right. I mean,
she's being a coward.
She wasn't a team player.
Dance recital. Like, what is this?
You have the work ethic of Shaq! That's what he would say to her. All right, we'll get to that in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We have another entrant here for Burger Brawl, which is this Sunday at the Philadelphia Navy Yard, presented by Jim Beam. We have two gentlemen here. We have Gavin Wolf, who runs the place of Three Monkeys Cafe, and then we have Chef Charles Platel. Go ahead, Gavin. This burger is wonderful.
Isn't it?
It's wonderful.
Crazy.
But they say that the backbone of a good place is a good burger.
Well, we created our place 14 years ago.
Get you right on that mic over there, my friend.
There you go.
All right.
right.
There you go. No, we're good to go. There you go, Gavin.
Hot.
Yeah.
Since Mike hot?
Yeah, the mic's hot. The mic yes.
Hot. All right.
I was looking, spitting out radio terminology.
You put the cans on?
You can. Oh, my goodness. How long were you in the radio business?
I don't want to talk about it.
This man knows the terminology. So go ahead. You get into the bar scene. Why?
We got in the bar scene. We wanted to have almost like, I just remember like Nick's Roast Beef back in the day in South Philly. You had that one big classic sandwich that the whole neighborhood flocks to for.
Mm-hmm.
We did it with the burger, and here we are 14 years later. I have Chef Charles, the mad scientist, back there in the kitchen, always flirting with the Blackboard specials and always taking spin-offs of our classic burger menu.
All right, and you have your Eagles hat on, so you came prepared.
That's right.
For all things, not just radio terminology and burgers. Right. But it's Three Monkeys Cafe, Gavin. Thank you. And here is the mad scientist himself, Charles Platel, the chef. Go ahead. What went into this burger? Because just on site, we're looking at this burger, and we're going, man, Three Monkeys Cafe, forget about it. When it comes to stacking things a mile high, this thing's incredible.
Thank you. So what we did is we took our traditional burger, and we folded into it a house-smoked brisket. A little bit of shredded pork roll, chorizo. On top of that, it gets pepper jack cheese, Cooper Sharp cheese, a potato locky, spring greens, bacon, and a sriracha sun-dried tomato aioli that's served on a toasted LaBus bun.
Say that one more time. LaBus bun?
LaBus bun, yeah. The French bakery, man.
That's the bus in French.
That's Winnie's
LaBus. Nah, I mean... It's meant to hit in every different angle.
It is awesome. You guys did a great job with that burger. And it's like intimidating to look at it first, and then it's like, I got this.
You guys are intimidating.
Oh, stop it. Come on. Thank you. No, it is. You know what his nickname is, don't you?
No, what is it?
A big can of thunder.
Big can of thunder, man. That's what they call him in the streets.
Big can of thunder. In the streets.
In those hard streets of Medford, New Jersey.
Hey, man, what you talking about, dude? Throw up IMs, man. It's hard out there, man.
Three Monkeys Cafe. Is it Northeast Place? You guys in Northeast?
Northeast Philly. Tarsdale Train Station.
What is it?
Tarsdale Train Station up in East Tarsdale.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Three Monkeys Cafe, Tarsdale Train Station in Northeast Philadelphia offers unique atmosphere with three distinct dining experiences.
That's right.
All right.
That's
well, gentlemen, fancy. Good luck very much. Good luck. A lot of luck to you this weekend. Burger Brawl again is this Sunday at the Philadelphia Navy Yard, and it's all for a great cause. Proceeds benefit the Philadelphia School District. The event raises money to outfit underserved schools with the latest technology. For more information to purchase tickets, go to PhillyBurgerBrawl.com. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And good luck.
Awesome.
Thanks. Yes, yeah, absolutely good luck. Fantastic. Sorry, it looks like I dissected it. I just wanted to just take a bite of the brisket. I couldn't get to it yet because the thing is ginormous. Thank you, gentlemen. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. As we mentioned before the break, and we are going to have Ron Jaworski join us at 8 o'clock today. We're moving Ron up a
Sensational.
Day.
Sensational.
Yes, he had a little conflict tomorrow, so Ron Jaworski is going to join us a day earlier.
All right.
Not too bad. So I saw this thing come up in my Twitter feed yesterday about Kobe Bryant.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like any time I... Wait a minute.
Did he leave the recipe?
He totally left the recipe to the burger.
It's like the soup Nazi in the armoire.
Oh, no.
All the recipes.
Oh, no.
This is...
That's incredible. Yeah, don't say anything. They're walking out right now. And the speakers are off out there. Okay, that's now our burger.
Right.
That's now our burger.
Yeah.
We're going to win burger, bro. So whenever I see something come up about Kobe Bryant, I always assume there's going to be a hot take involved. You know, I really do. I feel like there's going to be some kind of hot take involved whenever I look at anything from Kobe Bryant. And sure enough, there's this tweet that comes out yesterday from Kobe, or excuse me, Instagram post that comes out from Kobe Bryant yesterday that, and I didn't even realize this, and I think it's cool whenever a coach or, excuse me, a former player wants to coach his kid's former team, or his kid's team, and he takes the time to do that. That's a nice thing, right?
Yeah.
Nobody knows how to win better than, you know, a guy that made it to the pros, right? A guy that was one of the greatest ever in his sport, right?
Yeah.
So he sends out a picture of his squad, and he says, here's our fourth place winners picture. Laugh out loud.
Yeah.
He types LOL.
And winners was in
quotation marks.
He made sure he stressed fourth place.
Fourth place. Here's our fourth place winners picture. LOL. Six of the kids in this picture stayed with me and worked every single day to get better and to continue to work to this day. The seventh player, not in the picture.
Coward.
Miss...
missed this game for a dance recital, so that should tell you where her focus was at this time. Meaning she enjoyed dance more than ball, which is fine. Now,
she called that girl a coward.
She called her, and he called her a coward, basically. Yeah. But he goes on and says, now she eats, sleeps, and breathes the game. So from this original group of seven, we have added two years younger, sixth grade now, a player whose team in our area folded, and a player whose family moved here from Tennessee. The beauty of coaching is growing with the players from the ground up. That journey continues. Hashtag Mambas. Hashtag 2 years ago.
Mamba out.
Mamba out.
And for those who haven't seen the picture, could those kids look any more miserable?
Those kids just, like, murdered people. That's what happened before that picture was taken. And it was like, yo, you didn't see anything. That's what it looks like. They got the meanest game face on you could imagine in that photo. They look like little Mambas. They really do. Mm. They embody their coach. That's what they do.
Like, I think all the trophies were going to get snatched out of their hands by the team mom that's there. Like, you know what? No one gets orange slices. Give me these damn trophies. Everybody on the line. It's like a miracle.
Oh, wait, now, Cole.
He tried to explain himself. You got this?
Now, I don't, but here's what I do have. He did tweet out something about 12 hours ago that said, for the record, even though they hated fourth place, I did ask them to at least smile for one pick. I'm a softy. I'm Kobe Bryant. Was that the response?
I got another one here. He says, because people were kind of blasting him a little bit. He says, I was just explaining why she wasn't in the picture. Most of my kids on the team played and still play other sports, including my daughter. So it's all love. Don't misunderstand the message.
Doesn't change the fact you called that little girl a coward.
Yeah. Basketball over everything.
What is the message?
Basketball over everything.
Okay, all right.
Do you think he's waking this team up at like 2:30 in the morning to like go shoot 1,000 jumpers?
Absolutely. I think he shows up in the kids' bedrooms and be like, "You should be shooting right now."
Yeah. Shaq isn't shooting. I was. Yeah.
If not, go dance.
Yeah. Sleepover. Hey, we got a gym right here at the house. Let's go.
I wouldn't put it past Kobe Bryant to tell his daughter, like, "Hey, why don't you have the team over for a sleepover?" And then, like, at 2 a.m, he comes in with like a boat horn.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Everyone, light up light now!" Yeah. That kind of thing.
Put them damn cupcakes up and get some protein shakes in here. Power bars.
Fourth place.
That's like, who was the most aggressive coach you had as a kid, Trey?
As a kid?
As a kid. Like, when did you first like step on a football field?
High school.
High school is when you first got exposed to it, okay? Well, who was the most intense coach you had like in those days?
You know what? My high school coach was my head coach. He was an MP in from Vietnam. Yeah, so he's a wild dude, man. So like I remember one time he was like, "You gotta bleed gold and green." He took a knife and he stabbed himself across the chest and ripped it across his chest, and like this green and yellow ooze started green, and I was like, what just happened?
Was it fake?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, damn, this guy really stabbed himself?
Like I don't know, when he took something.
Green, he literally bleeds green.
Yeah, and he stepped, ran it across his chest. You gotta bleed green and gold. And I was like, wow. This dude just took a knife to his chest.
You're like, coach, our colors are black and yellow. I don't know.
How did you make that happen?
You made a horrible error.
But yeah, he was pretty intense.
Yeah, sounds like.
What the hell? I don't know what I'd do if any coach I had in high school would have ripped out like a knife and be like, "This is how you got to be." Yeah. Like, even like, what happened in the room when that happened? What was the reaction from the team?
It was right before the game, so we were on the field. So we were like, "Oh, this is."
Was anyone like, "Oh God, no, coach!"
Yeah, we were all sitting there like,
"This is a motivational tactic."
What is just happening here? I don't even know how the game ended. I just remembered he's coach, a knife to the chest.
Coach, you're still not you're not numb anymore.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.